Hi, this is Dan Sheridan, and welcome to our Church History Lessons, and this series is dedicated to the life and letters of the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of Liberty and Grace, and this is number 3 of the series. In the Bible, in the book of Acts, chapter 21, verse 39, the Apostle Paul said this, "I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city." Now that means no insignificant city. There was a church father named Jerome, and according to St. Jerome, Saul's parents and grandparents were Galileans from a town called Giscala. Giscala is a city of Galilee, not far from Tyre, just look on an ancient map. Jerome says Saul's grandparents migrated to Tarsus before Saul's birth. Giscala was the last place in Galilee that held out against the Romans. Giscala fell to the Romans around 67 AD. Now, Jerome thinks that Saul's grandparents migrated to Tarsus as a result of the Roman conquest. However, there's a little problem with that. That doesn't match the time frame. Jerome seems to have been confused here. Now, some think Jerome was right that Saul's parents did migrate from Giscala to Tarsus, but they don't associate it with Jerome's time frame or reasoning. Be that as it may, it seems that Saul's family, for whatever reason, left Giscala before Saul was born and relocated to Tarsus. And it's here that our apostle came into the world. Now, one thing we can say for certain, God was in it. He wanted Saul to be born in this pagan city, surrounded by powerless idols and failing philosophy. It was the needed background for the man who would later proclaim the true image of God, who is both the wisdom and power of God. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, he calls himself a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Now, technically, a Hebrew is the opposite of a Hellenist. So a difficulty arises. If Paul was raised in Tarsus, he would have been considered a Hellenist by the Jews. A Hellenist's native tongue was Greek, not Hebrew. And a Hellenist wasn't thought too highly of by the Jews in the mother country. But remember, Paul mastered both Greek and Hebrew. Paul actually used the Greek version of the Old Testament on many occasions, but he uses the Hebrew version when it was more suitable to his purpose. And think about this. The most important day of Paul's life was the day he met the Savior on the road to Damascus. We find that in Acts chapter 9. And on that day, the risen Lord Jesus spoke to Paul in Hebrew, the language that would give voice to his deepest thoughts and desires. So even though technically Paul was from Tarsus among the dispersion, he called himself a Hebrew of the Hebrews. So Jerome's statement about Paul's grandparents was probably correct, that they migrated to Tarsus from Galilee, and this might be the reason Paul had the right to call himself a Hebrew of the Hebrews, because in reality, his family was native to the Promised Land, so he wasn't really considered a Hellenist, but a Hebrew of the Hebrews. You know, they say that location is one of the most important things when it comes to commerce. Now, Tarsus was such a place. It was a center of commerce by virtue of its location. It was situated on a stream that was easily navigated, which made it ideal for trade. And on this stream, merchants floated their products to the Mediterranean where they were unloaded. Commerce was so important to Tarsus that the city coins had an image of the city seated in the midst of bales of all kinds of merchandise. And of course, where there's commerce, there's politics, and Tarsus was a place of political power as well. Tarsus had the dual privilege of being a capital city as well as a free city. So we see that Saul grew up in the midst of the hustle and bustle of a commercial city. You know, commercial allusions may be found throughout his letters. For instance, he speaks about those who peddle the word of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. And the Greek word there for peddle means to sell at retail with the insinuation of improper profit, either by overcharging or adulterating. And in Ephesians 1:13, Paul uses the word earnest, which may be an allusion to the earnest money paid by buyers of goods. Even his usage of the word ecclesia for church may have been influenced from his experience in the assembly of a free city. The Apostle Paul engaged in commerce and politics. Remember, we're subject to our time and circumstances. And in Paul's case, where he was born determined what his trade would be. Tarsus had a huge supply of goat's hair, and thus the main trade of Tarsus was weaving, and from the hair they made ropes, tents, and clothes. And this was a blue-collar job, by the way. It was the unskilled labor of the common man. It was a blue-collar job. Thus, it was not a high-paying gig, and those engaged in it weren't very well respected. Now, this doesn't mean that Paul's family was poor. Remember, every Jewish boy was taught by both parents and rabbi the necessity of learning a trade. Paul's own teacher, Gamaliel, said this, "Learning of any kind, unaccompanied by a trade, ends in nothing and leads to sin." The Jews were also famous for saying, not to teach a son a trade is to teach him robbery. Now, there's wisdom in this. Later in life, Paul was able to fall back on his manual labor trade to provide for himself when he needed to. The Apostle Paul wrote letters to the Thessalonians, and here's what he said in one of the letters. "For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for, laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." So Paul labored, and he encouraged others to do so. He would have scolded Christians if they were living off other people's money and labor when they were perfectly able to provide for themselves. And in that spirit, here's what else he said to the Thessalonians, "And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing." And he also said this, "For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you," or an example in modern English, "to follow us." So Paul made himself examples to the Thessalonians to follow him through his manual labor. Now imagine the Apostle Paul contemplating the glories of the Savior as he was weaving the black goat's hair and making tents. Work is good. It is to be done to the glory of God. So let's imitate Paul in this. Well, that's all we have time for in this audio. We're going to continue next time talking more about Paul's hometown and his background. This is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for listening. I really hope you learned something. Thank you for listening to our course on church history, focusing on the life and letters of the Apostle Paul.